just for context, who are you and what are you doing on Borderlands 3?
Yeah, my name is Scott Kester, and I'm the art director on Borderlands 3.
Okay, for the first question, something easy. What's your favorite class at the moment?
Ooh, in this game? Zane, the operative.
Oh, nice, because that's the only one I haven't played yet.
Oh, yeah?
What makes it your favorite class?
So, Zane is... So in the last game, my favorite character was Zero. So, context, I've been on Borderlands since the first game and the second game, and I would design, that was character designer, visual designer, for the way the Vault Hunters and enemies and stuff look. So, so I love those kind of characters. So Zane is, he's awesome to me because he's a little more technical than some of the characters. Like, for instance, right off the bat, one of the things that's unique about him, you can not have grenades, but in that slot you can put two action skills, so you can use dual skills if you want. Now, you can keep, or you can just use one at a time, but what I love about Zane is there's a lot of tactical options with him, because I love this combo called, like, just clone drone, and you can clone and you can use the drone, so when you clone yourself, you know, leaves a version of yourself that shoots, and then you can go away and it draws aggro, and then you can flank and get the upper hand on enemies, and then they start realizing you're the threat, they turn to fight you, and then you can click and you can switch places with the clone. But then when you have the drone out there, and then later down the tree, you can equip the fact that it will drop grenades, and, like, basically it's just like you're three people on the battlefield. It's a little more to take, it's a little more technical in regards to that, but, from his barrier ability, which uses the shields, but really, you know, because they all have multiple action skills now. I just love the tactical kind of deception of Zane, and I like messing with it. You know, I like being able to, like, be switching places and stuff, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's also what I liked about Mose, because she was, like, you have so much to customize.
Oh, really, man.
Try to make them really different. In the action skills, like, it's not just press a button and you have your action skill, but it's more like...
Yeah, I used to call Borderlands 1 and 2, like, you had a fun button, you hit a thing and it did a thing and that's what it did, where one of the things that Paul, Sage, creative director, and all of us really wanted to see was action skills that were a little more in-depth. You did something with them. It wasn't just a fire and forget, right? Like, you just... So, I think it was important for us that the action skills were a method to gameplay and not like an end to it, if that makes any sense, right? So it used to kind of be the, pardon my French, the oh shit button. It was like, oh no, things are going off, and you'd hit the button and it would, like, save you. And you can still kind of do that. Like, Moe's, though, is kind of a nice, if your health's kind of low, you can pull out the Iron Bear and then you're in a big mech and stuff, so yeah.
And, like, I played both games, like, favorite series. What is something that veterans of the series will really enjoy, like little details or something? Do you have some?
Yeah, I mean, so we've designed the game as an entry point. If no one's played the Borderlands franchise, obviously we kept that in mind while we kept the people, you know, that were familiar with the franchise in mind. So if you're new to it, you're getting a complete story. It, you know, it's bookended. It makes sense, but to me, the people that are familiar with the franchise, be it with the way the weapon systems work to the story, we've got a lot of NPCs that are returned. There's a lot of story that, if you know it all, it builds in a lot more in regards to, like, the context of why that character is doing that or why they're not doing that. And I feel like there's tons of details everywhere. Like, we, again, with being able to be Unreal 4 and current gen consoles, it's been 7 years since Borderlands 2 was released. There was the pre-sequel in there, but when I kind of think about 2 to 3, it's been so, you know, it's been a long time. But now with the fidelity of having a little more detail on things, we can hide so much cool stuff. There's, like, inside jokes and stuff and self-referential things to the past. So I don't know. There's a lot to find. There's a lot of cool stuff in there.
Also, like, gameplay wise, because I know some details, like something that should be obvious, but like the fact that now that the class mods show you really the skill you're pushing up.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, like, the gunplay has improved.
Oh, man, yeah, we took the gunplay. Thank you for seeing that. That's something we put a lot of effort in to make sure it plays better. It feels a little more modern. It's, you know, from moving and mantling and sliding and just the way it feels to fire a gun and just the ADS and everything, it's we put a lot into that, as well as putting a lot more of the RPG in. You know, it was like, get a lot of good shooter stuff, you know, because that's like our, you know, bread and butter is those two things put together. So from the gear to the guns to all that, I think if you were, you know, familiar and liked our franchise, we built it on those pillars, and we tried to take those pillars and expand them more and make them better than we ever have. So,
do you think the time played a role to like a little bit distance yourself from everything and take a look?
Yeah,
what we already have and what we can do better, or where can we improve?
Yeah. So, again, after being on all, you know, working on all the Borderlands, the core Borderlands games. We did one and we did two basically back to back, and basically and DLCs on those, and we were like, we needed a break, we needed to stop, because if we rolled, then thankfully Gearbox and 2K were like, yeah, we get that, let's pause. I don't know if everybody thought it would be paused quite that long, but in the interim, you know, to kind of refresh our minds, we made Battleborn, and Battleborn didn't turn out exactly, you know, success wise how we wanted, but we were really proud of that game. But if we didn't make that game, our effects, our gameplay, our action skills, and just some of the other things that we put into that game really made their way into Borderlands. And I feel like to kind of refresh with that game and learn from, you know, successes and mistakes of that game, and then to really think about, okay, what do we do with Borderlands now? It helped us. It really helped us transition into that. And it's something I'm really proud of, actually. You know, the things that we learned from that that moved forward. But just, yeah, we needed a minute. And I know 7 years is like an infinite time in video game land. But, like, we were given the opportunity to take it. I've been on this game for almost 4 years now. So, and it started a little before I started on it. So it's not like we haven't been working on it. So, yeah.
I also noticed, and I played also the showcase on the floor, the 20 minutes, and there I noticed you can collect like a little claptrap, or the parts of it.
Yeah.
Is there more like collectibles in the world, so you can
collect
more because
So, absolutely. We have, we have these crew challenges that basically... Claptrap has like side missions that he's having you do. Moxie has ones that you're doing. So as you go through the game, there is so much stuff in this game. Like, I'm kind of one of those people that I'm like obsessive, you know, OCD. And as I'm playing, I'm like, we put too much in this. There's too much stuff to find. There's too many things to do. Again, if you don't choose to do that, that's completely up to you. But we wanted to make sure that there was, you know, every moment or everywhere you looked or you saw something, like, I wonder if there's something there. Like, we try to fill that stuff in and we try to encourage that. So there's definitely a lot more to find. I mean, there's a lot more gear and guns and stuff, but there's more collectibles. There's more missions. There's, you know, we doubled the amount of maps that we had in the game from Borderlands 2 to this game. So we hope that we filled it properly. You know, we didn't just try to make space to make space. We tried to make sure that there was a reason for it. And I think we've done a... That said, we do have some spaces and maps that are completely optional that you never have to play, but we hope people play them because they're pretty sweet. So.
And you also talked about missions because you also showed Sanctuary 3, I suppose the new hub area?
Yeah.
So you just get quests there or also on the planets you're going?
Yeah, absolutely. So we start you off on Pandora because it's home. We want you to get comfy. For a while, we thought about starting somewhere else, but we wanted to make sure that, like, people realize that this is Borderlands and this feels right. But you stay on Pandora for a little bit, and then we get you out of there. You get a ship, and you get going to, you know, from a city planet to Promethea to Eden 6 is more of a jungle planet. One of the ones we've shown is more of, like, a idyllic, like, monastery. Very pretty, very beautiful, very not like Borderlands, because we're usually everything's kind of crabby. And then, you know, there's other stuff that, you know, we're not really talking about, but, you know, there's more places and things to go to. We want to save some things as a secret. But, yeah, it's really fun. It's been awesome as a thematically and as an artist to be able to, like, build a big city planet, to build jungle swamp lands, because we've been in the desert for a while. I mean, 2 had some grass and had a little snow, but essentially it was still kind of the same.
You saw, you tried to escape, like, a little bit, just... desert.
Yeah.
Like, now Pandora's terraformed, but you're also a little bit confined.
Yeah, it kind of was, and it just didn't feel right, and we made the decision to leave to a planet. It gave us opportunity for biome and skybox. Like, I mean, Promethea, you know, the asteroids go across the sun that's there, and they blot out and change time of day, and it's more dynamic with the auroras, and you know, you see space and asteroids everywhere. It just gives us an opportunity. Like, we couldn't do that on Pandora. We couldn't make these big, huge gas giants that surround Eden 6 and stuff. And it just lets us make the tone and the mood of the map feel totally different, but also gives us an opportunity to introduce new NPCs and new creatures and things that are unique to those planets. So
now, moving on a little bit to the endgame, have a show exclusively at Gamescom.
Yeah.
The new two endgame pillars.
Yeah.
So one is the Trials, which I played like 15 minutes of.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it because I think it's like something you can farm. So
yes, also, that's the point.
Just to put it in context, the character was more like you play through the game once, you like beat the end, and now you're like trying to move on to new game plus or something. The character you played like at level 30.
Oh, yeah, the way we just had that for here. I mean, when you play the game, it'll be your character you built, obviously, and you don't have to beat the game to play that content. But it does start to unlock pretty late in the game as a challenge there. But, and again, we're not talking about our full end game right now. We're going to address more of that at PAX in a week from now, I guess. We'll talk about more about a second playthrough, a third playthrough, and other things that we're doing in regards to that. And all that is in the game. That's not like DLC and stuff. All this stuff that we're talking about is all parts of the game, the shipping game. Proving Grounds, really fun. We have about six of them, different enemies you're fighting, different locations that you're at, there's just different experiences in those. And yeah, they're made to be rerunnable. They're made to be played single player or four player. And the better you play it, the better loot you get. So it's kind of there to farm, you know, and all that carries over to your core game and all that stuff. So to your character and that. So.
But the core part is that you have these extra challenges. Do they get a little bit more wacky? Because now you just had, like, kill this one special enemy.
They're not that wacky, but they're there more for a standard to be there. But here's the thing, if people enjoy them, we do have the means to introduce and try some different things with it. This is a mode that, like, we're kind of testing the waters with a bit, but we like it a lot. Again, I've been playing it a bunch while I'm here. I've worked on this game for 4 years. I still like playing the game. You know, a lot of times you're like, I don't want to touch it. I've been looking at this for too long. But we've got some other things, though, that we're going to be talking about that kind of keep extending the game, because that's just something that's really important to us. We don't want you to just beat the game and be done. That said, if you do, we feel like we've created a compelling experience. The core campaign is meaty, and there's a lot there, but we're kind of talking now to the people that, like, really play. You know, the thousands of hours Borderlands players and stuff that give them a reason to keep playing and to keep leveling up and to keep getting gear. So this is one of those things that we're kind of getting into right now. So
can you comment on if raid bosses will return?
I can't comment on that, but I like to point to the past, and I like to say we want to support our franchise. So...